China's booming economy is due in part to its soaring property values, which economists say make up a third of GDP. In Shanghai, property prices have risen 300% in 3 years, pricing many out of the market. The government's trying to cool the sizzling market, and not everyone's happy with its moves. NPR's Louisa Lim's been touring both ends of China's property market.
This lift, family lift, is small, only for three or four people.
I'm being taken around a most luxurious villa just outside Shanghai by saleswoman Karen He. High-end housing projects are mushrooming here because they're so profitable for developers.
This is the biggest villas in China, and the price is the most expensive in China, I think, now.
And this particular estate is certainly out of the ordinary. That doesn't seem to be putting off buyers. 10 villas have sold at an average price of $463 per square foot. Once inside, it's easy to see why they're so pricey.
Go to the basement first.
Wow, so we're just coming out at the basement, and there's another private swimming pool here. And this private swimming pool has actually got a flat screen TV on one wall, so you can watch TV while you swim.
The film Titanic is playing here, as it is in the private theatre beside the pool. This house is incredibly extravagant, with its two jacuzzis and a sauna and wash basins with 24-carat gold trim. It, however, could be one of the last of its type. The central government's forbidden the release of any more land for luxury villas, instead ordering cities to allocate most of their land for small flats. It's an attempt to cool runaway property prices, an aim supported even by saleswoman Karen He.
This is a waste land, you know, 4,000 square meters for just one family. If this land, you can take the apartment, you know, many people can live, you know what I mean.
It's not the government's first attempt at bringing down soaring property prices. Last May, it introduced measures to thwart speculators, including a sales tax. The result? An immediate drop in property prices. That act had victims, including Annie Xia and Sam Hu.
Mosquito killer.
They just bought an apartment, which suddenly lost a third of its value. It's regained some of that, but they're still facing hefty monthly payments on a flat that's lost equity. And Annie says she and Sam have joined the ranks of a new class of Chinese, the mortgage slave.
Some of them, our friends and colleagues and even our relatives, they think that we are a mortgage slave because they think that we have to pay so much money every month. Now we are short of money. It's a very terrible period for us now.
They watch television at home, their leisure activities curtailed by their financial squeeze. And they're not alone. An official survey found the average Shanghai household spends 42% of its income on a mortgage. The pair aren't happy about the government's measures to cool the market.
Anyway, I don't think it's a good idea because, I mean, the price should be decided by the market itself.
The key point for us is to
earn more money,
yes. Otherwise, it's trouble for us.
Public dissatisfaction is rising as more and more people are priced out of the market. And interest rate hikes mean homeowners are struggling to pay their mortgages. And one man's trying to channel that anger. He's Zhou Tao, a businessman and consumer advocate in the southern city of Shenzhen. He started an online campaign encouraging people to stop buying flats for 3 years in a bid to bring property prices down. He told me why.
The market's artificially high. A lot of unscrupulous developers, middlemen, and speculators have got together to push prices up. Normal people's resentment and hatred is growing.
He says he's collected 200,000 signatures for his campaign. But he's also attracted official attention. He was barred from leaving the country, and he says his company was forced to close. When we meet, he acts nervously, saying his movements are monitored. but he believes the local government's scared of him.
Local governments sell land at high prices, then depend on the tax revenue from land use for financing their costs and GDP growth. So my boycott goes against their interests and could even affect the careers of local officials, so they want to stamp me out.
Certainly, there's plenty for China's leaders to worry about. As property markets spiral ever higher, the danger of a bubble increases. And a property crash could explode the mirage of China's rapid economic rise. The government's intervention shows that housing has become a political as well as economic problem. It's telling that in today's China, economic issues are driving political activism. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Shanghai.
And you can learn more about the steps the Chinese government is taking to cool China's real estate market. Plus, hear more stories on China's economic boom at NPR.org. Our series continues tomorrow with the growing role of successful businessmen in local politics.
In the past, it was glorious to be poor. It was revolutionary. Then the Communist Party trusted poor people. Now, since economic reforms began, it's different.